turn to 2 Kings chapter 4 and Romans chapter 5 today. We're going to spend most of our time in 2 Kings chapter 4. So turn to 2 Kings chapter 4 and Romans chapter 5. And the title of this message is up there. It's Make Room, Creating Space for God to Work. And we're going to look at one of the miracles that Elisha performed. We sang about him today during praise and worship. Elijah was his prophet, his mentor, and Elijah did 14 miracles, and Elisha did 28 because he asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And the miracle that we're actually going to look at today is the resurrection of the Shunammite woman's son, and it's the eighth miracle that Elisha performed with God. Of course, God performed this miracle through Elisha. And so we're going to read 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 37. And some of you I know have heard this story, some of you may have not. And she is never mentioned by name, but she's just known as the Shunammite woman. So let's read it, and then I'm going to give you, if you've taken notes this morning on the back of your bulletin, I want you to write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, okay? Because I'm going to give you six principles about receiving from God. This lady, her faith, this whole story is about the Shunammite woman, and we're going to learn from her how she positioned herself to receive from God. How many of you want to be good receivers? All right, I want to be a good receiver, so we're going to learn about this today. So we're going to read this together. I'll read it. You can follow along with me. Verse 8 in 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to go ahead and read this out of the New Living Translation, and I'm going to go to the New King James Version here in just a little bit. But I wanted to read this out of the New Living just because it's easy reading and everybody can understand it. One day, Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there. Okay, I want you to realize that she was wealthy. The Hebrew word for that is gadol. Look at somebody and say, gadol. You're gadol. So there's your Hebrew word for today. That's the only Hebrew word I'm dropping today, so that's it, gadol. Wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, this is talking about Elisha, he would stop there for something to eat. So she was a very hospitable woman as well. She said to her husband, "I'm sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by." And I love this. Her husband never questioned it, all right? He was a good man. He said, "Yes, honey, you're right. Let's do that." Verse 11 says, "One day Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went up to this upper room to rest. And he said to his servant Gehazi, 'Tell the woman from Shunem I want to speak to her.' When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, 'Tell her, we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?'" And I love this about the Shunammite woman. This is just another little tidbit that I found interesting about her. Is basically Elisha saying, and I'm going to paraphrase this in our regular day in languages, hey, Shunammite woman, because I don't know her name. "Hey, Shunammite woman, do you want me to do any name dropping for you?" Okay. And I love her response. She goes, "Nope." She replied, "My family takes good care of me." That's a good response. Verse 14 says, "Later Elisha asked Gehazi, 'What can we do for her?' Gehazi replied, 'She doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man.' 'Call her back again,' Elisha told him. And when the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, 'Next year at this time you will be holding a son in your arms.' 'No, my lord,' she cried, 'O man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that.'" So evidently she'd been believing for this secretly. "But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. One day when her child was older, he went out to help his father, who was working with the harvesters. Suddenly he cried, 'My head hurts, my head hurts.' His father said to one of the servants, 'Carry him home to his mother.' So the servant took him home, and his mother held him on her lap, but around noontime he died. And she carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God up in this upper room, and then she shut the door and left him there. And she sent a message to her husband." I want you to notice this, what she sent to her husband. "Send one of the servants," she don't even tell her husband what happened, "send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back. Why go today, he asked. It is neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath. But she said, it will be all right. One translation says, it is well. It will be all right. So she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, hurry, don't slow down unless I tell you to. And as she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her in the distance, and he said to Gehazi, look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, is everything all right with you, your husband, and your child? Yes, the woman told Gehazi, everything is fine. But when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. And Gehazi began to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is deeply troubled, but the Lord has not told me what it is. And then she said, did I ask you for a son, my Lord? And didn't I say, don't deceive me and get my hopes up? Then Elisha said to Gehazi, get ready to travel. Take my staff and go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face. But the boy's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I won't go home unless you go with me. She's like, no, buddy, you're coming with me. You spoke this promise, you're going to take care of it. So Elisha returned with her. Gehazi hurried on ahead and laid the staff on the child's face, but nothing happened. There was no sign of life, and he returned to meet Elisha and told him the child is still dead. But when Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. Then he lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands. And as he stretched out on him, the child's body began to grow warm again. And Elisha got up, walked back and forth across the room once, and then stretched himself out again on the child. This time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. I love that God puts that detail in there. Then Elisha summoned Gehazi, called the child's mother, he said, and when she came, Elisha said, here, take your son. And she fell at his feet and bowed before him, overwhelmed with gratitude. Then she took her son in her arms and carried him downstairs. Jada was the one that shared this scripture with me earlier this week and said she was doing her Bible study. And she said, honey, I came across the story about the Shunammite woman and the resurrection of her son. And she goes, did you ever notice where God said that this time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes? And I said, yeah, I remember reading that story, so I went back and read it. And so I began to study all commentaries about why this kid sneezed, and I found none. I don't know. He just sneezed 7 times, and it's in Scripture that he did, and he was raised from the dead, and it's a miraculous story. But, yeah, I was looking for some, like, God, what's the deal, God? Why did he sneeze 7 times? He 7 times is complete, so he completely sneezed it all out, whatever it was, okay, that had caused this problem. And so, really, I don't want us to get hung up. I love how God puts the details in there and everything. But I'm going to give you 6 principles, what I told you earlier. So if once you write down 6, I'll send my notes to you as well. But these are 6 principles about receiving from God, and here's number 1. Number 1, we can't make God move in our lives, but we can make room for him to move. Okay? You can't manipulate God. And so my sermon, in a sentence, I'm going to go ahead and give you right off the bat, point number 1, is when we make room for God, we make room for miracles. When you make room for God in your life, you make room for miracles. And this everything in this story flows from this situation right here, when the Shunammite woman made this room for the prophet of God. She made room for God and God's word in her life. Even though she was a wealthy woman, she was still dependent upon God. She wasn't dependent upon her riches or her wealth. She was dependent upon God. That's another little lesson from the Shunammite woman. And this decision to make a little room for Elisha is going to be instrumental in what happens in the rest of this story. It's not like what she did obligated God to do what he did, but it put her in the proximity of his power. There's nothing that you and I can do that can force God to move in our lives. Yes, we need to obey the word of God. And as we obey the word of God, faith is what pleases God. These are principles that you need to live by, but you can't manipulate God. And everybody said, amen, all right? Jesus said the movement of his spirit is mysterious like the wind. You can't always tell where it comes from or where it's coming. And the moment somebody comes up with a formula that manipulates God, you know they're misleading you, all right? But think of it like this. You can put up the sail so that when it blows, you can catch the wind. So everybody have your sails up this morning? I've got mine up. That's how faith works. You can't manipulate the presence of God. You can't make Him move in your life, but you can make room for Him to move. And so have your sail ready to catch the wind of the Spirit. And as I was preparing this message, and I already asked for their permission to share this, is when I was preparing this message and I was on point number one and I was studying the scripture out, Travis and Jennifer Bourne sent me a video of their place that they're doing out in over here by Camargo. They have 10 acres of land, and I'm not going to share the whole, go into the whole story, but I asked Travis if I could share this because he sent me this when about making room for God when I was studying this, and I just got the Holy Ghost goosebumps when he sent me this video, because he sent me the video and where they're putting their little cabin. They bought a little cabin to put out there. And so he was showing me the foundation that they had laid, these pillars, and I think he said there were 16 pillars. But on every one of these concrete 16 pillars, him and his family, they had wrote scriptures on it. They wrote a scripture reference. And I was like, dude, you're making room for God, and you're making room for miracles, dude. And so when he did the video, what was so cool, when he was showing me the video and he was talking through it and he was showing the view and he was showing the 16 pillars, there was a thunderstorm in the background, so the thunder was rolling, and it just, golly, I was sitting there watching, and I was just getting the goosebumps because I was studying this, and I said, dude, I got a story to share with you. So I was telling him, can I share that this morning? So they let me share that. And guys, I'm going to tell you, I know their desire, and God knows their heart's desire, is to build a house out there one day. And but they decided as they go towards that, they felt like God spoke to them, I want you to share this 10 acres of property with others. And they put it out there online. Travis knows how to do all that stuff. I can't even remember what you can get with him. He knows VRBO, and there's another website that he put it on. And within like a day, somebody said that they wanted to camp out there. And so it's really cool how God's leading them in all this. And I'm just telling you guys, God's leading you, and He's going to give you your heart's desire, okay? And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's all in God's timing, but He's pleased that you're sharing this with other people, and people are going to be blessed. By the way, it's called Blessed Camping, all right, or Blessed something. BlessedCamping.com, is that right? Com. You can go. Okay. BlessedCamping.com. Go check it out, all right? If you got anybody visiting in this area, tell them to go to BlessedCamping.com. They can stay out there. It's a pretty awesome deal. I love that. And then while I'm in this vein right now, I feel like that I need to share something over here. And it's Bryce and Caitlin. Y'all have been coming here for a while. You're good friends with Luke and Brooke. I kind of know. Are y'all in, like, business partners together? Okay. And I heard just a little bit from Carrie this morning, your story and what's going on. And I just want you guys to be encouraged. I'm not doing this to embarrass you, but I just want you to be encouraged that God is pleased with y'all because you're making some room in your life. And because you're making this room in your life with family, that God's on the business side of things, is expanding even bigger than what you're even thinking about. And I just felt like when I was worshiping, I was watching Luke up here, I felt like I need to tell you guys, there's been some people that's went before you and kind of prepared the way. And I know you guys know all this, and you're more business savvy than I even am, you know. But you need to study Chick-fil-A. And they got it going on. They know what they're doing. And I just think some of those principles that they've got can help you guys. I'm not saying it's ever just like, you know, verbatim, but I feel like there's something there that will help you unlock even more for y'all's business and to expand it even more. And I feel like I'm sitting here talking to two entrepreneurial multimillionaires right now. That's happened. It's already happening. It's going to continue to happen because you're making room for God. But you're doing it on a personal level in your family, and then he's expanding. I just see just nothing but expansion going on for you guys. So hope that encourages you. Be blessed. And keep going. Keep rocking for God. Okay. The other thing that I want to share, too, since I'm in this vein, is because I felt like God was saying this to me when I was studying this, is that there was either going to be somebody here or somebody watching online or somebody that listens to this on the radio. And I just want to, and you're having fertility problems, some fertility issues, and I want you to receive this word from God's word that about this time next year, you're going to embrace a child. So whoever that's for, I'm not going to have you raise your hands, come up here, embarrass you or anything like that, because it could be somebody here watching online or listening to this on the radio. But about this time next year, you're going to embrace a child because you've been believing for it. Amen. All right. Here's principle number two. Principle number two. And my clicker isn't working, guys, for some reason. Keaton. There we go. All right. Principle number two. Keaton, nephew. Don't be messing with me back there. All right. Six principles about receiving from God. Number two, the blessing of God is only found in the place of our weakness. All right. This woman had everything. The Bible tells us that when it starts off, she was wealthy. That Hebrew word is gadol. Yet this miracle occurs in the one place in which she is not gadol, the area in which she was actually very poor and very desperate. And it's not your weakness that keeps you from the blessing. It's your strength that keeps you from the power of God. God is so full of grace. He's so ready to help. But our sense of richness keeps us from the richness of His mercy. All right? And Jesus taught about this. And He taught about, in the natural, Mark 10:25, He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Can you be rich and still go to heaven? Yes, you can. But what happens is there's such a spirit on money or on mammon that it gets you to start trusting the almighty dollar instead of trusting Almighty God. Richness, and this is what I love about the Shunammite woman, she was wealthy, but she also had a dependence upon God. And sometimes wealthy people feel like they're independent from God. So richness, and this is what Jesus is saying, richness almost always leads to feelings of independence. And I want you to see with the Shunammite woman, that wasn't the case. She was wealthy, but she also depended upon God. And that's why the Apostle Paul told us in Scripture to command the rich to give. You know, because that's why God's blessed you with that, so that you can bless the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, I love what the Apostle Paul, what the Lord told the Apostle Paul. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know, we need God's grace, guys, in every area of life. And He wants you to take your weaknesses to Him and rely upon Him. He wants you to rely upon Him. He's given you strengths in some area too, but He wants you to rely upon Him and not yourself. Okay, six principles about receiving from God. Here's number three. We cannot manipulate God, but we can trust Him. I'm gonna go back and read this in verses 18 through 26, because I just want you to, I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version, because it talks about how the child grew. Happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, to the harvesters, and he said to his father, "My head, my head." So he said to the servant carrying him to his mother, and when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back." I just want you to know she didn't share with her husband what's going on, because she knew he was busy. He's out in the field. Verse 23 says, "So he said, why are you going to him today? It's neither the new moon nor the Sabbath." And she said, "It is well." Everybody say, "It is well." She just said, "Husband, it's well." Verse 24 says, "Then she saddled the donkey and she said to her servant, 'Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you.' And so she departed and went to the Mount of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, 'Look, the Shunammite woman. Please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?' And she answered, 'It is well.'" Everybody say, "It is well." Now, I want you to just notice that we cannot manipulate God, but we can trust Him. Even in the midst of this terrible situation, this tragedy, she is trusting God. She is saying, "It's well with my soul, but it's not all well in my world right now. I can tell you that." But she didn't stop and talk to anybody. She didn't tell her husband. She didn't tell Gehazi. And here's what I want you to know. This woman trusts God, which is why she keeps repeating when people ask her, "Is everything okay? All is well." Here's what I want to tell you right now. You don't need to air all your junk to everybody that comes across your path. You need to have some trusted friends. And Jade and I were talking about that this morning. You need to have some trusted friends that you can confide in. And sometimes you just need to go to God. You just need to shutty and go to God. Amen. That's what you need to do. And what is so neat about this story, it is well, and I had Mark and our praise team sing that today. Did you know that this story is where the hymn, It Is Well, comes from? This is what inspired the old hymn, It Is Well. And I want to read you how this all happened. It comes from this phrase, all is well, that is repeated by the Shunammite woman. The song was written by a man named Horatio Spafford in 1873. In 1871, the Great Chicago Fire left him financially destitute because he had invested heavily in real estate there. At the urging of D.L. Moody, he decided to leave for England to help them with their evangelistic campaigns. Okay, so he is going, and he's doing something for God. And since he had some business to finish, he sent his wife and children on ahead, but their ship sank. His wife survived, but all four of his daughters drowned. Spafford left almost immediately to join his grieving wife, and along the way, the captain informed Spafford that they were passing the very site of the accident where his daughters had drowned at. And Spafford went down below deck and wrote the words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." That's what inspired that old hymn, what we sang today. And the rest of the story is this. Interestingly, Spafford went on to found a mission for God, and the statement of his heart was, "It is well." The posture of his life, the radical way he lived, said, "But it's still not well. It's well with my soul, but it's not well." And he was reunited one day with his children in heaven. And this leads me into the next point that I want to share in this passage. And this principle here, gospel faith is a mixture of contentment and holy discontentment. It's that, what I just read there about Spafford, it's that it is well with my soul, but it's not all well in my world. And that living in that's the gospel faith. And if you go to verse 26 and 27, if you have your Bibles, and this is where Gehazi goes out to meet her. Actually 27 and verse 28. It's after Gehazi goes out and meets her. It says, "Now when she came to the man of God at the hill," so she finally gets to Elisha, "and she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me.' So she said, 'Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me?'" And so she's saying, "This is, God, this is your problem. You're the one that spoke this, and I just received it." And here's what I want to tell you about the Shunammite woman. And I don't want this to sound that sexist up here, okay, because men need to hear this too, all right? But this woman was emotionally healthy. She was emotionally healthy. Men, we need to be emotionally healthy. Women, we need to be emotionally healthy. And the reason why I want to share this today is because she knew who to talk to about her brokenness. She didn't get on the phone. "Sister Sue, guess what happened?" You know, and talking to everybody and stirring up a whole bunch of junk. Because everybody don't need to hear your junk. Not everybody's concerned about you like you think they are. Not everybody's going to pray for you like you think they are. In fact, some of them are going to go behind your back and go, "Yay, everything's screwing up in their world." You know, it's great, you know. And you don't need those kind of people on your team. You need those kind of words being spoken over you. You know, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. But God also wants you to be wise in who you share your stuff to and your brokenness and your heartaches and all those things. And that's wisdom when you do that. And this woman had wisdom. She was emotionally healthy. She knew who to talk to her about her brokenness. I'm going to give you a quote, and this is from Pastor Lawrence Neeson. He's a pastor in Oklahoma City. I see him once a month, just a man full of wisdom. And he shared a quote on Facebook, so I want to give him credit because this came from him. It didn't come from me. But when I read it the other day, I was like, my gosh, that goes with this point. And so I wrote it down, and I'm going to let you If you want to write it down, that's fine. You can post it and tweet it too. And this is what he said. He said, "It is healthy to be honest about your brokenness. It is toxic to keep talking about your woundedness." I'm going to say that again. It is healthy to be honest about your brokenness. But you want to do it with the right people, just like the Shunammite woman. But it's toxic to keep talking about your woundedness, because you're just living it over and over. And guys, here's the deal. Every time that you keep talking about it, it's affecting you, spirit, soul, and body. It affects your health. It goes plumb into your health. It affects every area of you. So you need to be wise about that. All right, everybody getting some help this morning? Learning from the Shunammite woman? All right, here's number five, the six principles about receiving from God. Number five is the blessings of the gospel are appropriated only through persistence. In verse 30, it says, "And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her." Elisha was like, she's not taking no for an answer. She's not taking the hey, Gehazi, you go take care of it. She's wants me to come. This woman had what I call bulldog faith, all right? And it reminds me of a story. And some of you, if you know the Word of God, are probably thinking of these stories. The woman in Matthew chapter 9 pressed through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment, talking about Jesus. She had that bulldog faith. The persistent widow in Luke chapter 18, she had that bulldog faith. The Shunammite woman had this bulldog faith. And here's what I love about God. There's what we can learn from the Shunammite woman is God rewards persistent seeking. God loves it. So be persistent. Don't ever give up. Keep bugging him. Keep bugging him. All right. Last one today. Last principle. And this is where it all comes to. It all started in that upper room. She made the room, and she put her son in that room after he had passed away. And here's where it all happens. In verse 32, it says, "When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. And he went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, 'Call this Shunammite woman.' So he called her, and when she came in to him, he said, 'Pick up your son.' So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out." This is number six, and God gave the ultimate blessing, and this is a deliverance from death by taking death into himself. Now, I'm going to give you the prophetic. When we read that just now in Scripture, the prophetic symbolism of that is this. Elisha covered the boy with himself, and that's a picture of Jesus. Eyes to eyes, nose to nose, mouth to mouth. That means complete identification. And if you looked down from heaven at this boy, all you would see was Elisha. You wouldn't even see that little boy. This is how Jesus would save us. He united himself to us completely, eyes to our eyes, nose to our nose, flesh to our flesh. Jesus took upon himself our flesh, and God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. I just got Holy Ghost bumps again. That's powerful. He completely covered us, slain in our place, so that if you look down from heaven at us, you can only see Jesus. When God looks at you, all he can see is Jesus, because Jesus died in your place. That's good news, guys. That's the good news of the gospel, and that's Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And salvation is the greatest blessing that you can receive from God. You don't earn it. You receive it because of what Jesus did for us. Everybody learn something today? Okay. I'm going to go back over these just real summarize real quick. Number one, we can't make God move in our lives, but we can make room for him to move. Number two, the blessing of God is only found in the place of our weakness. We cannot manipulate God, but we can trust him. That was number three. Number four, gospel faith is a mixture of contentment and holy discontentment. Number five, the blessing of the gospel are appropriated only through persistence. And number six, God gave the ultimate blessing, deliverance from death, by taking our death into himself. And everybody said amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I do this every Sunday. Just want to make sure that everyone here and those under the sound of my voice that are watching online, that'll be listening to this on radio, want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's very simple, that you receive it by faith, but you also have to, the Bible says in Romans 10 that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this, what I call is the prayer of salvation, and so this is where you're going to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And so I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And even if you are saved and you know that you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. If that's the first time that you've prayed that prayer, what we need to do, and if you've never done this, then your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. I believe we're going to get our baptistry heaters out right now, but we're going to get that fixed this week, and because we got a few baptisms already on schedule for next Sunday, and so we're going to get those taken care of. And if you'd like to do that, get with me, and we'll get you water baptized. Okay, again, our scripture for today is from the Shunammite woman, where she says, let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he'll have a place to stay whenever he comes by, 2 Kings 4:10. And this is the lesson from the Shunammite woman. When you make room for God in your life, you make room for miracles. And everybody said, amen. I want you all to have a miraculous week, all right? I want everybody to stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you this morning. Jada, will you come up here with me? And we're going to speak a blessing over you. If you're standing there with your family, join hands with them. And we believe in the power of the spoken word, and we believe in the power of blessing around here. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a miraculous week. Love y'all.